bring some renewal in our hopes, even if we were rather distracted during Advent, or even if we had some resolutions that we did not keep at all, or even if we're not coming to this celebration right now with the best disposition, we all have some kind of expectation about Christmas. At least we know that it should be good, that Christmas should bring something good to our lives. At least, even with some hesitation, we wish that Christmas will be a good moment that will bring something good for us. So as we go deeper into the celebration of Christmas and we try to enter into the reflection of this wonderful feast, we should ask, what do we find when we meditate on what happened at Christmas? And we find the mystery of mysteries. God becomes man. And this is one of those things that we know well, but that today, in a very special way tonight, we should think again and very carefully and not take for granted. God becomes man. It is really a powerful mystery. God, all-powerful, becomes a fragile little baby. That is a mystery. That is hard to understand. Even a great mind like St. Augustine, probably the greatest mind of the early church, said that even the mystery of the Trinity in one sense could be accessible to our minds. But the mystery of the Incarnation, the mystery of God becoming one of us, is something that simply goes beyond anything anyone could ever imagine or think. This is something that we can only know because God shows us this reality, and that is what is happening right now. But if we take this seriously, and if we have an open mind to this and an open heart, then we will realize that it is really not so easy to believe that God cares for us in such a way that he chooses to become one of us, that God loves us in such a powerful way that he becomes one of us, literally one of us, a little baby, sweet, fragile, defenseless baby. A baby who is a real baby, not the idea of a baby, not a symbol of a baby, but a real baby. And there are many babies here. A baby who was hungry, who had to be fed by his mother. A baby who cried. A gift of Christmas. No baby is crying right now. We know that, we know very well here that babies sometimes cry during Mass. And it is interesting, the other day someone said that coming to Mass here, especially at 10:30, as you know, is very nice if you have a lot of kids, because it's one of those very few places where you can come with all your kids and not be ashamed of them crying. And thinking about not being ashamed, beautiful short verse, but very mysterious as well, in Scripture, in the letter to the Hebrews, about Jesus not being ashamed. And we read that he was not ashamed, he is not ashamed of calling them brothers. So Jesus is not ashamed of calling us brothers. What does this mean, and why this is important for us tonight? Let's think about this. Have we ever been ashamed of a brother or of a member of our family? If we have, we know that it is not a nice feeling. It is not nice at all to feel embarrassed by someone who is part of our lives, and even more, maybe to even try to be far from that person. It is not nice. And that happens every now and then. But Jesus is not ashamed to be our brother, knowing us very well, knowing our stubborn choices, knowing of our bad thoughts and desires, knowing of our distractions, of our indifference, knowing of our sins. He's not ashamed. He was not ashamed, and he chose, actually, to become our brother. Now, we don't choose our brothers and our sisters, we don't choose our relatives, but Christ chose to become our brother out of pure love in order to save us. And this is the profound meaning of Christmas. Jesus does what we could have not expected, a surprise, and we should be surprised. Jesus does what we do not deserve. He does what we need. And to be very clear, Christ did not become man to make our life a little bit nicer, to give us some improvement, to maybe offer some inspiration with some smart phrases, or to reinforce our self-sufficient righteousness. Christ came for something quite different than that. Jesus came, God became man, to rescue us, to do what we cannot do, to save us. Without Christ and without Christmas, simply there is no hope. And we should try to understand this, because otherwise Christmas is nothing but a good occasion for a good meal and exchanging some presents. Now, that would be okay, that's not bad, but is that all? Don't we think, don't we feel, don't we long for something greater than that? And there is really something more. There is hope, because when we think very carefully about what we deserve, about what our actions deserve, we know, if we're honest, we know that we don't deserve much, that we have received so much, and sometimes we give so little, that so often we forget about God. Without Christ, there is no hope. And when we think about our world, when we look at what's going on in society today, look where we're going without Christ. Look what happens without Christ. There is a very important reality here. We need more than improvement. We need salvation. We need hope, and that hope comes from Christ. When we say that Jesus came in the fullness of time, we mean, among other things, that Jesus came, so to speak, in the fullness of our guilt, when humanity was just lost and in need of a Savior. In that moment, then Christ came. When we deserved nothing but death, then God did what is still today surprising. He became one of us. There is a very, very beautiful text that was written a few years after the New Testament that explains this in a wonderful way with very, very beautiful words. So let me read a short part of it. When our wickedness had reached its culmination, the time came then for God to make known his kindness and power. How immeasurable is God's generosity and love. How wonderful a transformation. How mysterious a design. How inconceivable a blessing. So seeing God becoming one of us, seeing God becoming a baby, and knowing that this is true and not just a nice idea or not just one of those great stories that we hear that bring some example or lesson and inspiration, knowing that this actually happened, this gives us hope, and we see God's kindness and power. And in order to make this a reality for our lives and not just a nice, inspiring idea, we should ask, what does this mean for our daily, actual lives? What does it mean that God, instead of giving us simply some kind of punishment, showed his pain for us? The inconceivable blessing is that God did something in us. And listen to the words. Not just for us. Not just giving us a great example to try to imitate like any other hero. Not just saying some smart words like many other people do. He did something in us. He did a wonderful transformation. He became one of us, our brother. Our faith, our Christian faith, is not about some kind of sublime moral ideal that is impossible for our weakness. And Christmas is not a celebration that in the end makes our life even more difficult because the goal becomes higher. Yes, the goal is high, but God makes it possible because he became one of us. He's not ashamed to be our brother. And that changes everything. This is the only possibility of finding true hope for our lives. Not just some kind of optimism, everything will be fine, just keep trying, but hope, certainty that our life can be good, our life can be better. Because we all know very well that we have struggles, that we make mistakes, that we have problems at home or at work, that we commit sins. We know that. We also know that many of these problems and sins have been present in our lives maybe for years. And what sometimes, apparently, we don't know is if we are going to change, if we are ever going to be different, if those sins or those temptations or those problems can change, if we can overcome those situations. And sometimes we don't know, we're not sure, because of one simple reason, because we're trying just by ourselves with our own strength. For sure, every now and then we all pray. When we're in trouble, we ask God for help. But we ask for help, but we are trying to do it. And something has to change in that approach. We should open our hearts tonight in a very special way as we see God becoming one of us, a little baby. We should open our hearts more fully to him. It starts in our hearts. It starts surrendering our pride, giving it a try, an honest try, and letting him work that transformation in us. It is possible, but we need to understand how. Saint Augustine, who was this great saint, great saint, the 4th, 5th century, he wrote in a surprisingly honest way, especially because he wrote this already being a bishop and a very important man in the church. He wrote in a surprisingly honest way about his struggles with purity. Chastity was a big challenge for him. And he was not sure that it was even possible to be pure. And he struggled for a while just to find hope, until one day he understood. And he wrote to God something surprising and beautiful. He wrote this: O love, ever burning and never quenched, love, my God, set me on fire. You command continence, grant what you command, and command what you please. Very smart. Grant what you command, and command what you please. So the good news of Christmas is that God makes this possible. Not just an ideal, but possible, a possibility. In becoming our brother, then God is with us, literally, in everything. He suffers with us when we are struggling. He is there and he knows how we're feeling. He rejoices with us and he gives us hope. He shows us that it is possible to be good. And the first step, the first way of responding to his love tonight should be to believe and to renew our faith that this is true. Not just a nice story. This is true. This is possible. And so we need to say to the child Jesus tonight, as St. Augustine said, love, my God, set me on fire. Give me what you command. And we all know what he commands. We all know what he wants for us. So we can say, give me what you command. Give me that patience that I need, that I don't feel I have. to be good at home. Give me that purity that I know that seems so difficult, so impossible. Give me that forgiveness that seems so hard. Give me that kindness that I need. Give me that generosity. Command, and I will try and command what you please. May Mary help us today to open our hearts, to take the risk of being touched, of being moved by this kindness and power, so that this celebration of Christmas will actually bring good things to our life as we welcome God who becomes our brother.